Rising interest rates can mean different things to various investors. Higher rates could be positive if you are looking for income. However, they could be viewed as detrimental if you are looking to refinance a loan. I am joined by Sean Simcoe, Managing Director and Head of SEI Fixed Income Portfolio Management, to discuss the current interest rate environment, the shape of the yield curve, and potential implications investors should be aware of. Hi, Sean. Thank you for joining us today.
It's great to be here.
If you pick up a newspaper or turn on your favorite financial news show, you're bound to hear someone mention the current interest rate environment and the shape of the yield curve. Before we dive into the details and drivers of today's fixed income environment, would you take a step back and describe the economic backdrop and what the shape of the yield curve really means?
Absolutely. And to answer that question properly, I need to take us all the way back to 2006, when we saw the housing prices begin to fall, and shortly after the housing data softened, the subprime mortgage crisis exploded. The Federal Reserve and the government injected multiple lines to try to prevent a full-blown crisis. Unfortunately, we know how that turned out. But I don't want to focus on the lifelines or the various stimulus packages. Instead, I want to focus on the path that the Fed chose to take. It began cutting interest rates in 2007, until rates eventually settled near 0% by the end of 2008.
Was that when investors started planning for a return to higher interest rates?
Well, some investors and market pundits called for rising rates because they were afraid that hyperinflation would set in, but that wasn't the case. It took another 7 years for investors to see that the Fed's overnight lending rate and interest rates in general would start to move higher. Back in December 2015, the Fed finally boosted the overnight interest rate range from 0 to 25 basis points to the range of 25 to 50 basis points. The yield on the 10-year Treasury also moved higher, but it took much more of an indirect route. The 10-year Treasury yield actually fell to around 1.35% by mid-2016 before topping out at 3% in May of 2018.
The 10-year at that level went against what many market participants believed was going to happen. What was the key driver of this move?
Well, simply put, it was uncertainty. And while that's a very broad term, it captures a sentiment that was flowing through the market at that time. Uncertainty is the catalyst for the fear that resulted in equity markets falling from roughly the middle of 2007 through 2009, as well as both actual and potential bankruptcies, particularly within the banking sector. Over the next few years, economic growth flatlined while corporate and household balance sheets were repaired. During that time, the U.S. and global economy faced different geopolitical events, sovereign debt crises, and choppy economic data. These provided the backdrop for lower yields across the fixed income markets. The sub 2% levels are far from the yields that were expected from the concerns about hyperinflation leading to the unstoppable rise of interest rates.
Okay, so has the economic environment changed?
Well, economic growth has improved. That's stating the obvious. There's no denying that fact, and consumer and corporate balance sheets are healthier than they have been in recent years. And most recently, the tax code reform in the U.S. is expected to help growth too, or at a minimum, offset some of the higher pricing pressures that we're witnessing.
Could you elaborate a little further on that statement?
So year to date, we have seen upward pressures on the commodity sector. For example, WTI oil has rallied from around $60 to $72 a barrel before setting back to $66. Higher oil prices affect many areas, but the most visible is at the gas pump. According to AAA, the daily national average gas price has risen by 18% for the year through May. At some point, these elevated prices will start to curb spending. I don't feel, though, that we're at that point yet, but if prices do continue to climb, we'll probably start to see that impact over spending over the next 12 to 18 months. The Fed has helped fend off the inflationary pressures. By pushing up short-term rates and at that same time, contained growth and inflation expectations have held down the excess yield that investors expect to receive for holding longer-term bonds. Putting it another way, although interest rates are rising, yields at the longer end of the curve, represented by that 10 to 30-year part of the sector, are capped to some extent, meaning an artificial ceiling has been holding yields and rates down. This doesn't mean, though, that yields can't or won't eventually break through these levels. It does mean, though, without a sustainable inflationary pressures or the fact that the Fed is turning more hawkish, it'll be difficult for yields to remain at the significantly elevated levels.
With that said, what does the current environment say about the course of action the Fed will likely take?
Current and projected economic growth does support the Fed's recent interest rate hikes. Markets today are pricing in a high probability of two additional increases by the end of 2018, which will likely take the overnight rate to the range of 2 to 2.25%. Currently, the markets, though, expect the Fed to raise rates at its September and December meetings, which would be consistent with the measured pace of the current Fed rate cycle. While some predict an accelerated frequency of rate increases, we don't see a pressing need to quickly force interest rates higher, and we think that the Fed will ultimately take its time raising interest rates. Current and future inflationary pressures, which remain contained, support this opinion. Corporate earnings and balance sheets, as I said earlier, are healthy, and the labor market is strong. The recent tax reform should provide added stimulus to both businesses and consumers.
What have investors focused on recently?
In this interest rate cycle, the focus really is on short-dated yields, and they're rising at a faster pace than longer-dated yields, which creates a flat yield curve. And simply put, that's just where short-term bond yields and long-term bond yields have similar yields. Some investors continue to brace for future and higher rates, as they have since the Fed lowered interest rates in response to the last recession. I think, though, the real question is how much higher will yields go? Of course, there are a number of opinions on this, but no one has a definitive answer. For 2018 to 2019, some are forecasting 4% or even higher on the 10-year, while others expect another rally, which will push that 10-year back down to below 2%.
You mentioned earlier that rising interest rates can benefit fixed-income investors. What about the shape of the yield curve? What does a flat yield curve mean?
Well, a flattening yield curve can sometimes indicate that an economic slowdown is approaching. I agree that a slowdown will occur at some point. It's inevitable. However, I don't think it's in the cards in the near term. Inflation is creeping into certain sectors, such as the energy and healthcare sectors, but higher prices are likely to be transitory. Wage pressures remain minimal, and we need to see sustained upward trends in wage pressure to really see inflation that would be high enough to drive yields sustainably higher, and I say sustainably as being that key word. Ongoing geopolitical concerns have also helped to cap the 10-year yield. Many investors moved to the perceived safe haven asset as a result of the back-and-forth negotiations between the U.S. and North Korea. Elections are once again in focus, too. Italy is facing another round of elections, which has pushed the Italian yields higher and signaled heightened uncertainty within the banking sector and system within the economy. At the same time, this has supported current yields and even pushed U.S. Treasury yields lower. The midterms are fast approaching as well. A steeper curve is unlikely as long as the geopolitical instability continues. The counterargument, though, is that a steeper curve could occur if economic landscape does not support an aggressive Fed action and rate hikes ultimately choking off economic growth. We view this, though, as carrying a very low probability. Economic data remains strong, and U.S. growth for the quarter is expected to reach 4% and possibly higher. But we don't know if rates can be sustained at the level or if they will fall significantly. My best guess is that there's no immediate threat to growth.
You touched upon inflation. Can you elaborate on inflation markets, particularly the TIPS market?
Yes, of course. The TIPS market is a great proxy that can capture a sense of how the markets are interpreting inflation and future inflation. TIPS provide protection against inflation as the principal increases with inflation, and on the case of deflation, the principal would decrease as well. Duration-matched TIPS have outperformed nominal treasuries by roughly 0.96% year-to-date. Unlike credit spreads, TIP holders benefit when break-even spreads widen. The 10-year break-evens are approximately 15 basis points wider year-to-date, while the 2-year break-evens are 30 basis points wider. The outperformance of the front-end break-evens indicate that cyclical factors are driving up inflation expectations, rather than repricing of medium-term inflation expectations. Wider break-evens and TIPS outperformance in general has been helped by a strong commodity market and investors' expectations of an uptick in U.S. cyclical growth on the heels of a late-cycle fiscal stimulus. The U.S. dollar index has appreciated by 0.6% year to date, but has depreciated by 8.25% since the start of 2017.
So what does all this mean?
Well, we believe that the fixed income as an asset class should not be overlooked, and that the defensive approach should be considered as rates do move higher. A strategy shift might be necessary, going from a total return approach to one that focuses more on income. Investors may want to consider carving out a portion of their fixed income allocation as a safety net in the event that the risk markets do start to falter. Ultimately, fixed income investors should look more favorably at higher yields if they take precautionary measures during that climb.
Well, thank you, Sean. This has been extremely valuable insight from you. I know our clients will surely appreciate it. So a special thank you to Mr. Sean Simcoe for talking with us today.
Anytime, Mike. Thank you very much for having me.
A basis point is 0.01%. Break-even rates represent the difference between the original coupon rate and the real yield with the same maturity date. Duration is a measure of risk in bond investing and indicates how price-sensitive a bond is to changes in interest rates. This material represents an assessment of the market environment at a specific point in time and is not intended to be a forecast of future events or a guarantee of future results. This information should not be relied upon by the listener as research or investment advice. This information is for educational purposes only. There are risks involved with investing, including loss of principal. Bonds and bond funds will decrease in value as interest rates rise. TIPS can provide investors a hedge against inflation, as the inflation adjustment feature helps preserve the purchasing power of the investment. Because of this inflation adjustment feature, inflation-protected bonds typically have lower yields than conventional fixed-rate bonds. No mention of particular securities should be construed as a recommendation or considered an offer to sell or a solicitation to buy any securities. SEI Investments Management Corporation or its employees may sometimes hold positions in the securities discussed here. SEI Fixed Income Portfolio Management is a unit of SEI Investments Management Corporation, which serves as the investment advisor. SEI Private Wealth Management is an umbrella name for various life and wealth advisory services offered through SEI Investments Management Corporation, CIMIC. This presentation is provided by SEI Investments Management Corporation, a registered investment advisor and wholly owned subsidiary of SEI Investments Company.